This Monday night, PBS is airing another entry in their celebrated America at a Crossroads series. This one is called Inside America's Empire and is the story of journalist Robert Kaplan, who writes for the Atlantic Monthly, and trips that he has made around the world to see the U.S. military in action. When you hear about the U.S. military now, you hear about them in Iraq and Afghanistan, and you know that we've got thousands in Germany and thousands in South Korea. But what you may not know are about our special forces and other members of the military who are involved in very different missions around the world. And so I've asked Robert to join me this afternoon here on KMOX to talk about this and about his new book, which is called Hog Pilots, Blue Water Grunts, which will be published right after Labor Day. Robert, welcome to KMOX.
It's a pleasure to be here.
I really enjoyed this documentary, and I'm really going to urge my listeners to watch this on Monday night. But I will tell you that I think a lot of them are going to have the same impression I had when they hear the word empire.
Yeah.
Inside America's empire. That's a word that has negative connotations hung all over it, right?
Yes, it does. The word empire makes people's skin crawl. But if you think of the challenges and frustrations that the average American junior officer or non-commissioned officer faces around the world in these training missions and stabilization deployments and humanitarian relief that the military is carrying out, it's comparable only to those of soldiers and of previous empires and previous times in history. The United States has military deployments in dozens upon dozens of countries on any given week. And so it is a veritable empire of sorts, albeit much different than other empires in history.
And some of these are the real front lines in the global war on terrorism, aren't they?
Well, some are, yes. I mean, in addition to Iraq and Afghanistan, which is obviously the front line, you have a whole series of weak states with an Islamic setting, which is perfect for al-Qaeda, all across Africa, from Senegal on the Atlantic Ocean all the way to Chad and Sudan near the Red Sea. And the United States military is active in a lot of these countries, training select units of host country forces so that they can police their own borders better. And so all we have to do is advise and train.
You know, a lot of people here, including presidential candidate Ron Paul, say, you know what, we need an isolationist attitude in this country. Enough with going around the world and trying to be the Earth's police force. That's not what America's role is. It's not what our job should be. You disagree with them, don't you?
I disagree because that's not what I've been seeing around the world. In addition to the four places on this PBS show, I've been to many other countries with the American military. And with the exceptions of Iraq and Afghanistan, our missions are very low-key, with a lot of half measures. We're not imposing a democracy on anybody. These are all countries where a democracy evolved organically in and of itself. We've been invited in to train troops because an age of democracy is also an age of military professionalization. Because without a professional Western-oriented military, that country's democracy is not going to last very long. So this is the epitome of half measures, low key. We're not bullying our way anywhere. We're just living up to our responsibilities of a great power.
If we weren't there, would someone else fill the void?
Well, no, because the most military-minded countries in Europe are France and the United Kingdom, and they don't even have the budgets to do all these training missions. You know, one thing that's forgotten is that Eastern Europe, after 1989, evolved for the most part successfully in a democratic direction. And a hidden hand behind that was a lot of the military training missions that the U.S. conducted, the U.S. Navy building an Albanian Navy, the U.S. Army in Poland, and so on and so forth. And what I've seen in Africa and the Philippines and Colombia and many other places where we have troops is a similar model. People have this idea that we're going around shooting people, you know, getting involved in other people's business, but we're being invited in merely to train and assist and in many cases conduct humanitarian relief in places that are too dangerous for civilian relief workers to do.
Does that all come under the heading of winning hearts and minds?
Yes, it does. it actually does. And what I've learned is that while, you know, one can certainly argue about the difficulties we've been having in Iraq and Afghanistan, all these missions seem far more successful. And you don't it's proven by the fact that you never read about them, even though none of them are secret.
It's News Talk 1120 KMOX. Paul Harris talking with journalist Robert Kaplan, whose documentary Inside America's Empire will air 9 o'clock Central Time on Monday night on Channel 9 and the other PBS stations across the country. The part of your documentary that I got when I watched the advance DVD that was sent to me that really, really impacted me the most was the first part in the Philippines, where we're dealing with not just the heart of Muslim extremism, but also the place where the first attacks on the World Trade Center were created, right?
Yes. When you think of the Philippines, you don't think of Al-Qaeda. But there's a direct connection between the attacks on the World Trade Center and Islamist groups in the Philippines. The Philippines, again, the southern part of the Philippines is Islamic. It's a chaotic environment with an Islamic setting where Al-Qaeda operatives can go to ground, merge, sort of like attach themselves to local terrorist groups. So what the Philippines shows is how this really is a worldwide operation. And guess what? We're there in uniform with American flags on the sleeves of American troops, and they're welcomed by the Filipino Muslims because the context is different than it is in Iraq and Afghanistan. The context is one of only training and humanitarian relief.
And if we can help humanitarian conditions improve in these places, that then reduces the support for these extremist groups, doesn't it?
Absolutely. What you're seeing around the world is not being a busybody in terms of American troops. It's crisis prevention. It's the military side of crisis prevention.
You know, it's interesting because I was talking about this just a few months ago when Lebanon and Israel had their skirmish, which was really, of course, between Hezbollah in Lebanon and northern Israel. And Hezbollah, of course, has a lot of support in a lot of towns in Lebanon because they're the only ones there who are doing anything for the local people.
If exactly.
If your power goes out, they will reconnect the generator. They will provide clean water for you, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's almost like street gangs in the United States. In the most poverty-stricken parts of American cities, if you can't get the officials to take care of you, you go to whoever can, and it doesn't matter if that's the guy who's dealing drugs and carrying an AK-47. If your lights are working, you say thank you to that guy. So we're trying to replace those kind of extremist groups in some of these parts of the world so that we can be looked at as the good guys instead, right?
Yeah, well, the model is this. Don't do the fighting. Let the host country do the fighting. You do the training. You help them with intelligence assets. You make yourself liked, or you make yourself welcome by humanitarian relief activities. And when anything goes good, you give the credit to the host country forces. That way you build up their legitimacy so that you don't have to stay there forever.
Could these indigenous armies do this without us?
Well, if they could do it without us, they wouldn't have asked us. The fact is, we've been invited in all these places. Let me emphasize, it may seem sinister, American troops all over the world, but it isn't.
You say in the documentary that they are there protecting America's interests. There are those cynical Americans who, when they hear that, don't think that we're protecting the American population, but rather American commercial interests.
No, that's absolutely not true. In the Philippines, we have no oil or anything like that. We've had a relationship with the Philippines for over 100 years. We liberated them from the Japanese. Our interests are fighting terrorism, Al-Qaeda. There are Al-Qaeda offshoots in the southern Philippines. That's why we're there. In Colombia, we're helping the legitimately democratically elected government regain territory lost to drug armies, which, again, is in American interest.
Boy, that part of the documentary where you go to Colombia and talk about the narco-terrorism that goes on there, and again, there are parts of that country that are not touched by their federal or local governments whatsoever, and it's all these drug lords who are running the country.
Well, no, that's not true. The drug lords are running parts of
the country. That's what I mean, those parts of the country.
Yeah, and much smaller parts than even 4 years ago. We've had real success in Colombia. The Colombian president, Alvaro Uribe, is probably the most successful democratically elected ruler in the world today. He's in his second term with a 70% approval rating. And he's little by little closing the space within which these drug armies have operated, and we've played a role in that by again helping to train Colombian troops, taking part in civil relief exercises and the like. But you know, if drugs are a problem for the American family, you know, this is directly in line with American interests.
You mentioned earlier that these stories are not being told, even though they're not exactly secret missions. Why aren't they being told? Is it because no journalist besides you are going there?
Well, mainly yes, but remember, journalists require action. They want hard news. We're not engaged in any shooting in any of these places. So from that perspective, it's not a story that fits within the strictures of hard news. Also, journalists do tend to operate in herds, and the story now, quite legitimately, is Iraq and to a lesser extent Afghanistan. Which have kind of sucked the air out of the balloon. I believe that one role of a journalist is to fill gaps, to report on things that others are not reporting on. So, you know, think of this documentary as sort of, and my book that's coming out next week, as a gap filler.
Yeah. It's long been said, a school being built, not a story. A school being blown up, story.
Yeah.
Now, could you have gone to these places if you were not embedded with the U.S. military? Is it safe for you to be in Mali and the Philippines and the Republic of Georgia and Colombia and South America?
Sure, it's safe for me to be there, but it would have been logistically hard to arrange to get to these outlying regions of the country without the American military's assistance.
Well, congratulations on the effort, which will air on Monday night at 9 o'clock Central on Channel 9 here in St. Louis and all across the rest of the country on PBS stations coast to coast. It's called Inside America's Empire. And then following that, the next day, Robert's new book will come out. It's called Hog Pilots, Blue Water Grunts, the American Military in the Air, at Sea, and on the Ground. I've got links to all of this right now on my website, harrisonline.com. Robert, thank you very much for your time this afternoon.
Thank you.
Journalist Robert Kaplan here on the Paul Harris Show on News Talk 1120 KMOX.